Subscribing 104's fastest growing podcast. It's the legend. And the loudmouth.
It's good. Love to eat turkey like a good boy should, cause it's turkey to eat so good.
It's time. Anywhere you are, by whatever method you are listening and socially distancing, we thank you for choosing this podcast, cause love to eat turkey is only a few days away. Grant, how are we doing?
Good.
That was an interesting weekend of football, to say the least, that we had. And
yeah.
Not all of it good.
No.
I might remind you, as tonight we wrap up the NFL weekend as we watch the Rams.
Hit that horn! Hit that horn! Gotta get a new horn!
Trailing the Buccaneers, so apparently they need a new horn. But It's 14-7 Buccaneers as we come on here with about 5 minutes to go in the first half. Grant, I know we'll dive into the NFL weekend and we'll dive into the collegiate ranks here, but it is Thanksgiving week, and that is pretty exciting.
Yes.
Outside of the obvious choice of turkey,
okay,
your favorite item on the table on Thanksgiving.
So,
day.
Are we including after? So, do desserts count?
Absolutely, everything counts.
Okay, I'm going to give you two answers here.
Okay.
One for pre-dessert, one dessert.
Wait, did you just use the word pre-zert?
Pre-dessert.
So we're calling that pre-zert?
I didn't say that.
Oh, I thought you said pre-zert. That would have been that's a really good combination of pre-dessert.
No, but I got an accidental, but no.
Oh, okay. No, well, inadvertently, you've created something.
It depends on which salad Grandma makes, if it's the cherry salad or the cookie salad, but her salads are top-notch.
Oh, agreed.
And then, of course, the key lime pie.
Yes.
The Mexican Village Market.
The Hubbard family tradition, my dear.
A tradition pie. Unlike any other. But like sides, like I like my mashed potatoes. I like mashed potatoes a lot.
Yep.
Carrots are good too.
I gotta have corn.
Give me.
Gotta get a new corn. No, I gotta have corn, and I also gotta have the dark meat.
I don't really care
because
what
I don't want always the one. I like the dark meat, and since I'm the turkey carver, you know.
Well, turkey is turkey to me. I just put salt on it. That's good.
So. Love to eat turkey,
but also French bread.
French bread is
love
good.
My French bread.
Yep, understood. I did very positive development for the
you
French
know the Rams
bread.
Scored in about a minute.
The Rams have, of course, just when we came on the air, the new horn. Jared Goff has thrown a touchdown pass. So 14-all between the Rams and Los Bucaneros because they're made by Pequeños Quibleros. Anyway. By the way, have we ever talked about that ad on the air? I don't think
no,
we have.
No, I don't think so.
We haven't?
No.
Well, every time I hear about this commercial, I have to bring it up to Grant because he doesn't remember the Sancheros from back in the day. How many of you out there are old enough to remember these Sancheros, by the way? Never heard of the Sancheros? Well, you're about to.
No, seriously.
No, really, no. No one's ever heard about the Sancheros? Well, you're about to.
I love tortilla chips, but they can be a little heavy.
But now there's new Sancheros. Sancheros light and crispy because they're made by Pequeños Quibleros.
The Quibler elves introduced Sancheros.
How did these never make it?
Tortilla chips.
Suck?
Yeah, that's probably true.
Crispy. Original.
Nobody.
And who are they made by?
Quibler.
Sancheros light and crispy.
No. Made by Pequeños Quibleros.
No.
See, that's who they're made
by. No, the company, I mean.
Well, the Quibler elves, you know.
That's why they didn't last.
Maybe, that's right.
Because there's something called Tostitos.
I forgot about the Old Boisies. Do you remember the Old Boisies?
I've never heard of the Old Boisies.
Potato chips are surprised at how good Keebler's Old Boisies taste.
Oh, Old Boisies are Old Boisterous.
They're bubbly, crackly, roisterous. So bold by the whole potato taste. Old Boisies are Old Boisterous.
Yeah, those were bad, too.
We have Lay's and Ruffles. We
Keebler elves couldn't do a very good job with those either.
Just
wow.
Keep some cookies, boys. We'll be all right.
Then there were tater skins.
Keebler presents the appealing taste of baked potato skins in a crispy, crunchy chip.
Tater skins got baked potato appeal, because they're made with potatoes and skins that are real.
The Keebler
did you have these too?
Yeah. You notice none of these ever lasted.
Yes, because people already made better versions of this stuff.
Cheddar, cheese, and bacon, sour cream, and chives. Taste bacon whatever you want. Believe your eyes, they're made from potatoes and skins that are real.
Potato skins from Keebler.
Baked potato appeal. Best part about all those is I did not even have to see the commercial to redo the jingles in my head.
It's bad.
That's beautiful. That's what happens when there's not enough sports to go around in the weekend. True. So, well, let's not. Without further ado, before I go into more potato chip commercials, it's time to talk about the National Football League. Let's get it out of the way. I mean, we may as well get it out of the way, right?
Yeah.
I mean, we have to talk about it sometime. Yeah, I know. They came in and they owned our stadium, Grant. And us with it. We let Andy Dalton beat us. That's horrible.
It is.
What the hell happened? Please, I'm waiting for some insight here.
I can't tell you. It's like, are we trying to tank or are we trying to make the playoffs? I can't tell what we're trying to do.
It was terrible. Now Adam Thielen's out with COVID now.
Does he have COVID? Or
well, he's on the list now.
He's on the list. But
he had a hell of a game.
Yeah.
And Dalvin Cook had his usual hell of a game.
Jefferson had the touchdown.
Justin Jefferson had a hell of a game.
Except it's classic Vikings in the fourth quarter. You need a stop to win the game. And, of course, they can't do it when it actually matters.
And it looked and it was horrible because Schultz was wide open. I mean, like, he was wide open.
And you can't even get a first down on the ensuing drive.
Yeah. And here's the problem again with Kirk Cousins, as is usual. Captain Game Manager, Captain Kirk, goes down, throws for 300 yard plus or whatever he threw for. Doesn't even matter. But when the chips are down in the fourth quarter,
he folds.
Game's on the line. All you need to do is get into field goal range.
We would have missed the kick anyways.
And we got a whopping 4 goddamn yards. 4! How many times are we going to pass before we shoot? 4! We got 4 goddamn yards.
Yep.
God, that's annoying.
You've seen them much longer than I have. They need to stop. I mean, also, Cameron Dantzler dropped a pick in the end zone that would have won the game anyways.
That was a tough kick, though.
Yes, but he had both hands on it. So, I mean, just they've done this for so much. They've just done this so often. I'm just like, when are things going to turn around where they actually win?
Are you numb to it at the age of 15 already?
That if they're ahead in the fourth quarter and the other team's driving, the other team's gonna win. Yeah, I'm just expecting that.
Oh, that's good. You should be expecting it by now.
The 2017 team shut down everybody. Now this team just can't stop anybody.
And it's not even, again. It's the way they lost the game. It was just bad.
But it's just the defense. But the Cowboys looked actually fired up once they actually win a ball game. They didn't before that. And guess what? They're technically tied for the division lead. So I don't know what. This division should be outlawed. You know, like you said, the orchestral section should be outlawed. The whole division should be outlawed.
The whole division should be outlawed. Tony Pollard had a 42-yard touchdown run. Nobody bothered to tackle him. Chris Jones didn't bother
to damn tackle him once he gets in the open field.
Yeah, and that was the beginning of the end there for the Vikings. Leighton Vander Esch had a heck of a game, by the way.
Can we just tank? Like, well, can we just lose the rest of the games, get the top 10, and get a quarterback? Like, could we do that?
What are we talking about? We're still going to the playoffs.
No, we're not. That's done. We couldn't lose one of those 3 games. The Vikes somehow managed to lose to the damn Cowboys at home. And I bet you they'll lose to Carolina the next week.
Well, Christian McCaffrey is out.
That doesn't matter.
But at the end, it's the Teddy Two Loves rematch.
This is what I fear when you play Dallas, because, one, our corners aren't that good. They're young and inexperienced. And, two, we get a guy like Amari Cooper that's going to dominate any guy in one-on-one situation. CeeDee Lamb's a hell of a rookie receiver.
Vikings got penalized 8 times for 80 yards. Outgained the Cowboys 430-376. 7 yards per play, 305 passing yards, and lose.
They find new ways to lose.
Honestly.
It's just pathetic.
It's ridiculous. Vikes dropped to 4-6. Cowboys improved to 3-7 and a half game back of the NFC East race.
So if they beat Washington on Thursday, are they technically in the division lead?
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Isn't that something?
Let's go Washington.
Oh, man. What a horrible thing. Let's go through the NFL scoreboard from the weekend. We broke down the Seahawks winning 28-21 over the Cardinals. Important win for the Seahawks, I think, more to reestablish their confidence as much as anything else, Grant. And Russell Wilson continues to keep on clicking.
Yeah, I think the Cardinals, they can be really inconsistent at times. They can be really good at times. And at times, both the teams were inconsistent. But I just think with Seattle, they're still relying on Russell Wilson to make every play at every time. What happened to this? We're a ball control run first offense. What happened to that? Like, they used to be such a great run off, but just because you don't have Chris Carson, doesn't mean DJ Dallas behind a good offensive line that they have, they can't rush for 100 yards. It doesn't make any sense to me.
It's going
to
hurt the MVP candidacy for Kyler Murray, because there are a lot of people that were all thinking he had a shot.
Dalvin Cook's a better shot winning MVP than Kyler Murray does.
Yeah, no.
You picked Dalvin Cook's the first to rush for 1,000 yards this season, so.
On the Sunday slate, let's start in Cleveland, where the Browns, in a driving rain,
ugly,
handled the Eagles 22-17. And again, the talk is now really intense about benching Carson Wentz. And
for what, Jalen Hurts?
Yeah.
Who's more inexperienced?
For Jalen Hurts. What are your thoughts on that?
You're in a playoff race. I mean, as bad as that sounds, you're in a playoff race. You need to get to the playoffs, and Wentz is the best guy for the job. Sorry, I don't care what anybody says. Jalen Hurts is not ready to be a starter. He's not. He's the gadget guy. He's not ready to play a full game yet. He just isn't. He's too inexperienced right now.
Baker Mayfield, again, does enough to get him by. But this was a game that the Eagles just couldn't win in any way, shape, or form.
Well, I mean, the weather, though, is just unfair. I mean, does Cleveland just have, the storm around all the time with just constant rain or snow or something? Because it's always horrible weather conditions in Cleveland.
Cleveland, again, 7 wins, they're not far off. They're not far off from being in the playoffs. Mayfield,
they're in right now.
Mayfield, a very pedestrian, 204 yards. It was, again,
Nick Chubb,
114 yards on the ground. Dallas Goedert, nice game for him, 77 yards and a touchdown. But again, Wentz, 2 picks, just...
Well, one he was hit from behind.
And then, of course, he threw the pick 6, but to our new favorite player, Sione Taki-Taki.
Does he like Takis?
I guess. Got sacked for a safety. Just not good play from Carson at all.
It just came... Sometimes on the offensive line, I mean, Wentz should be able to sense the guy coming from the backside, but that's football. But it's just... Can you really blame all this on Carson? The quarterback gets all the blame anyways. If the team loses, it's always the quarterback's fault. Right?
Right.
It's always the quarterback's fault. But you can't... It's not... Oh, so it's not the offensive line's fault for not playing well. I mean, Jason Kelce got hurt in the game. They're Pro Bowl centers. That doesn't help. It doesn't help their situation at all. Their defense gave up way too many rushing yards. If you're going to play the Browns, you gotta stack the box and make Baker Mayfield beat you. I mean, you have to. And they didn't. They just let Nick Chubb run roughshod over their defense. But it's not all Wentz's fault. It isn't. No, you can't blame everything on the quarterback. You can.
Blame most of it, though.
You can, but not all of it.
Speaking of quarterbacks, a new one emerged this weekend in New Orleans as the Saints take out the Falcons 24-9 with Taysom Hill, Mr. Gadget Guy himself.
You know how annoying that was, the pregame shows? Look at Taysom Hill. Like, I don't care. He's not a quarterback. Treat him as a quarterback. He was pretty solid.
I guess we'll talk about that. Hill was good. Can't deny that. 18-23, 233 yards. Did not score. Also led the team in rushing, 51 yards, 2 touchdowns. Damn. Shocker. Michael Thomas was targeted the first 9 passes he threw.
Shocking.
104 yards. But actually, this game was almost even at half. Saints were up 10-9, and then Hill scored his 2 rushing touchdowns in the fourth quarter. But New Orleans is the best record in the NFC. And Taysom Hill is their quarterback.
But there really isn't any favorite in the NFC. Like, I can't say this team... I like Tampa Bay, but they got killed by New Orleans. I like New Orleans, but I think Seattle's better than... I think Seattle is better than New Orleans. Green Bay, I think they're good, but I think Tampa's better than Green Bay. So they know that it's like they beat each other, so you don't really know who's really the best team in that game.
Falcons were awful, only getting 3 field goals. Again, Falcons kind of go one week to week. Just you don't know what you're going to get. They pound the Vikings, and yet in this game, they kind of hang around. Not great, not terrible, but they're
kind of there.
They're kind of there, and they're, you know, that's what, you know, teams like that that are 3-7, they are kind of there. That's just what they're going to be.
Yeah.
So, not very impressive in any way, shape, or form there. But the Saints do what they need to do. Since Drew Brees, who has apparently like 38 fractured ribs.
Well, 11, but it's like 11 in a collapsed lung. So I'm like, tell me how it happens to you over.
Tell me how you don't get diagnosed with like the first 8 before you get to. I mean, at some point, do we just say, hey, you know, we missed that one, fellas? We didn't quite get all the fractured ribs. Yeah. Sorry.
But the medical staff, they're like, the Chargers, they puncture the lungs for Tyrod Taylor, and then it's going to be a collapsed lung with Drew Brees. Like, people, get your together when it comes to lungs here.
Yeah, they really do need to get their together. No question about that. Unfortunate game in Washington as Joe Burrow tears pretty much every CL he's got.
ACL and
MCL. I think he just tore the ACL and the MCL, but they said the prognosis is a good 9 to 12 months, and it brings to an end what really, I think, was a good season for Burrow. Almost did it. Didn't quite get there.
You're close.
Washington wins at 20. Washington wins 20-9, but really not of secondary importance. Burrow took a high-low shot. You know, we've seen it happen before, and I just feel bad for him because I think if anything else, what Cincinnati accomplished this year is that they know who their guy is. Mixon's now hurt.
Yeah.
Their offensive weapons are starting to go away. I mean, they're 2-7-1. 4 wins is probably a realistic goal.
Yeah.
But at least they have hope, right?
They do have hope, that's true. I think if you keep developing the offense, the defense has some moments, but they keep improving this team, that'd be really good. Side question. With Burrow, he's not going. He's not going to be Rookie of the Year at this point. Who's the Rookie of the Year? I think it's between Herbert and Justin Jefferson.
Herbert will win that easy.
Yeah, if Jefferson has over 1,000 receiving yards, he's still second.
Yep.
What would Jefferson need to get to win it?
Much more. I mean, he'd have to pretty much 100 yards in the TD every remaining game. I don't think there's any question Herbert's good.
It's a quarterback driven league, so the quarterbacks win every award.
Yeah,
so,
and I don't think there's any question with. I think had Burrow stayed healthy, I think he still would have won it. It would have been close, but I think he would have won it.
Yeah.
Herbert has done a lot.
He's done, yeah. But I'm like, Jefferson's probably one of those steals of this
draft. Well, you have a bias.
I do, but it's just, he's really good. Herbert's really good. Like, would you be shocked if Jefferson won the award? No. But
yes.
Herbert probably deserves it more than Jefferson does.
Maybe.
But people like CeeDee Lamb more than Justin Jefferson because he plays in Dallas.
Well, CeeDee Lamb's the other one that was, a nice touchdown catch, but in the grand scheme
of things. He's been pretty mediocre this season. Yeah. Like, he's okay. He's not great.
Speaking of not great, the Panthers shut the Lions out.
Well, I mean,
20-0.
It is the Lions. So.
The Panthers had P.J. Walker playing quarterback. Okay?
Yeah.
The Lions are god-awful. And for them to be as bad, what was the Matt Patricia? You looked up the numbers during the week. It was some, I mean, is he won like, what, 14 games or something stupid like that?
I think he's like 14, 31, and 2 or something like that.
How does he still have a job?
Because the Ford family, does the Ford family still own the team? They're a family business. Like, it took them like a decade here in Matt Millen. It took them a while. Because they love everybody. They want to support you. And they just did like, let's keep Matt in there. Well, you know what? You brought Patriots in and they sucked. So
do they all get orange slices after the game?
And Gushers? I'll take the Gushers off of them. But the Lions, like the Vikings and Lions may have the same record, but the Vikes are 10 times better than the Detroit Lions. The Lions are fools of gold at times. They beat Atlanta on a miracle, and then they get their ass kicked by the Vikes the next week. Like,
Detroit ran the ball against one of the worst rushing defenses in the NFL, and they ran it for 40 goddamn yards.
Is that your phrase, goddamn, this week?
Well, I mean, honestly, Adrian Peterson had 7 carries for 18 yards and led the team.
Wow.
That's a horrible rushing defense. Horrible.
Horrible.
And I just wonder, as many times as this franchise has blown it up and started over again, what are they supposed to do?
I mean, Jeff Okuda hasn't looked really good this year.
Well, he's hurt.
And he's hurt. So, I mean, I don't really get what the Lions do at times. Like, typical Lions football, they pick you up by picking off two passes. The letdown is they didn't convert any of those into points.
Right.
So I'm just like... And as Vikings fans, we're cursed enough.
Right.
They're worse.
And so without their starting quarterback and their starting running back, both former All-Pros, they still beat them by 20 points and it wasn't close.
First shout-out since 2015.
Embarrassing.
Against Atlanta.
And the Lions have won 4 games.
How, I don't know.
Smoke?
And mirrors.
Combined.
What's the Bears doing?
Awful. Awful football team. I can't even believe they're favored in this game. I mean, honestly, at least the Vikings have, again, no problem.
At least they have weapons.
Yeah. That's for damn sure.
They have fool's gold.
Teams that do not have weapons, the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Yikes.
27-3. I'm not really sure it was that close. The Steelers kind of toyed with them for a few minutes and then spit them out in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
It was turnover after turnover after touchdown after touchdown. The Jaguars have lost, what, 9 in a row now since they opened the season with a win?
They beat the Colts.
Against the Colts. Again, who knows what this year is.
Tell me how they beat the Colts again. I'm confused by that.
So, the Steelers are 10-0. I mean, they actually, I believe, can be the first team to clinch a playoff spot next week if things break right.
I'm surprised the 72 Dolphins ghosts haven't creeped up yet. You're probably like, because probably most of them are dead by now. So
most of them don't think that the Steelers are a serious threat to go 16-0.
Well, if they beat the Colts and they beat the Bills and they beat the Ravens on Thanksgiving, right. Then they'll go unbeaten.
Why don't you give me an overview right now of Baltimore and Pittsburgh coming up this weekend, because let's go to that game next. Before we do that, let's talk about Baltimore and Tennessee.
Okay.
You coward. Who did we originally pick in this game?
Baltimore.
And who did we pick?
Baltimore.
Yeah. Really?
Baltimore.
Titans win 30-24. Derrick Henry
goes
the ultimate finisher.
Almost goes untouched into the end zone.
Right. And what the heck? The Ravens, man, I tell you, they are exactly what they are, who we thought they were.
They had one good season.
And I talked, and it was almost a year, year to the day, where we had this conversation about Lamar ain't one shit. And he still ain't one shit. And now Mark Ingram and J.K. Dobbins will both be out for Thursday night's game against the Steelers. Which means Lamar even has to do more than he usually
does. But my problem with Lamar is that if he throws the ball, it's a 100-yard field, but it's 10 yards wide.
And it's like, to Mark Andrews.
Yes, exactly. If he throws it, it's either to Marquise Brown over the middle, within the hashes, or it's to Mark Andrews on 3rd and 8. He can only throw to 2 receivers.
Talk a little bit about what you see, like, from now, from since then until now. For Lamar Jackson, has he regressed? Has he evolved?
Regressed. I think he's regressed, and the reason why I say he's regressed is because Lamar in that first season, I said this last year, I said if he improved his passing, he'd be really good, and he's been nothing but awful passing the football. His problem is that he can't throw outside the hashes, and that's what causes him games. The Titans in the playoffs last year, if you remember this. In the playoffs, the Titans made him throw the ball outside the hash.
I do remember
this. And what happened? He was terrible throwing the football. So if he forced everything inside, and if you not take away his middle passing lanes, he's screwed. He can only run, midline so many times, QB option midline, before eventually they're going to start figuring out what you're doing.
Are we going into the Davies High School playbook here? All right.
So 42 midline. But I'm just like, guard goes up to 2nd level, but I mean,
gotcha.
Which I do. But Lamar is like, they know what play we're running. Because when we call 3 beeping plays, you only have about 5-6 plays that you use. It's Lamar option, hand the ball off to Mark Ingram, which you can't, hand off to Mel J.K. Dobbins, you can't, or you throw it to Mark Andrews or Hollywood Brown. Their offense is basic and boring at this point. they can't score enough points to beat somebody, and their defense can only carry it for so long.
Not only is it basic,
it's boring.
Not only is it boring, right now it's unproductive.
Yeah.
And the Titans, who are not a very good team on third down, own them.
Yeah.
And I know they did it last year in the playoff, too, so it's not a total surprise. But it's not like the Titans are world beaters.
No.
Okay? They were less than 50% on third down. They, you know, they turned it over once. They're not particularly the most efficient passing team, but the Ravens did it all.
Yeah.
And I think, to some extent, the Baltimore defense is just as much to blame as Lamar Jackson is.
Yeah.
I don't think this defense is anywhere near as good as they were a year ago.
Mm-hmm. Well, Earl Thomas definitely helps. And he's not in the lineup anymore.
And I think, and the tackling on the play to A.J. Brown is even more of an indictment.
I know he's a man-child, but I mean, seriously, at least you can just get him down. They couldn't even get him down.
And on the final play there where Henry scores the touchdown, I'm like, really? You couldn't...
I feel like the Titans used the exact same game plan like in the divisional round last year, and they used it to perfection.
Worked.
And they beat him again with it. I'm just confused why Baltimore... I thought Lamar would be really good if he developed his arm. He hasn't. I don't think the coaches have tried to develop his arm because he's the same passer he was a year ago, and he's worse at it.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know what else to do with Lamar. The Steelers, I think, if you're going back to Pittsburgh, if they beat the Colts and they beat the Bills, they will go 16-0. I name somebody else on that schedule who could beat them. Unless they have a trap game somewhere in there, I don't see them losing. But I still think they're
second. Well, we can do the Steelers' final six. It's Ravens.
Yeah.
Washington.
Let's choose.
At Buffalo.
That's one that might get them.
At Cincinnati.
No chance.
Colts.
At home?
No. Yeah, that's at home.
Yeah.
Yep. Browns.
They will demolish the Browns.
I think they'll lose it. I think they'll lose two.
I think they'll lose one to Buffalo.
Here's the thing. They really can't afford to lose.
No.
Because the Chiefs are right on their heels.
No, but here's the problem with Kansas City. They get Tampa Bay on the schedule still. That's the problem with them. And that's going to be a high-scoring affair if they play on Sunday. So, I mean...
Sunday!
But, I mean, it's going to be a really...
Kirk Cousins right there?
Yeah. Yeah. But it's going to be one hell of a game on that Sunday between Kansas City and Tampa Bay, that's for sure.
Well, more to come on that one.
Yeah.
Patriots, bad loss to the Texans.
Yeah, I didn't get that one.
Texans are not very good. Patriots are mediocre at best.
Yeah.
I think, if anything I've learned watching these 10 games with the Patriots, they're going to move on from Cam Newton at some
point. This is the one-year fix.
It's a question of who. I don't think Cam's style of play, given how he is, he's a runner, but he's not a runner like Lamar.
No.
He's not a runner like...
He used to be a good runner.
Russell Wilson, who can run and throw. And he's not a, I'm just going to move around in the pocket runner like Aaron Rodgers and throw from, cannon from flick of the wrist
to
60. Yeah,
flick of the wrist touchdown.
Cam does none of what I just said very well anymore. And
he's washed up.
He was never the most accurate passer to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
Every time I watch him play, it's painful to watch him try to target anybody with any accuracy. Now, of course, he went for 365, threw it 40 times in this game, did not throw a pick. But the Texans defense is bad.
Yeah.
And I question whether Cam can pull this off for another year. I don't know if I'm in Bill Belichick's shoes that I want to do it for another year.
Yeah, I wouldn't. So where they're going to be in the draft would be mid-teens, maybe. And maybe there's a quarterback sitting there for him, maybe like a Zach Wilson kind of guy who you could develop, or Kyle Trask that you could develop and make him. Kyle Trask could be like that next stand in there, pocket kind of quarterback that Belichick likes. He likes that pocket quarterback, like what Brady was. And then Kyle Trask could play pretty well in New England.
You think if Deshaun Watson had the weapons?
Oh, that'd be a playoff team. I mean, The Texans gave him one weapon. That was DeAndre Hopkins, and
he made him look fantastic.
And they were a perennial playoff team. I mean, they were a playoff team pretty much every year because they had Watson, they had Hopkins, and Will Fuller is a good supporting cast receiver.
Will Fuller Jr. the fifth.
Yeah, whichever number shows up that week. But yeah. I mean, Brandon Cooks was a replacement for Hopkins, and he hasn't done much of anything. And you got David Johnson back, which is like, yes, hasn't been good in 5 years. So if you give them one really good weapon, they're a playoff team. And another team's in turmoil because J.J. Watt wants out of there. And after the season, he's going to leave. He's already made that presence. So.
Speaking of teams in turmoil, what happened to the Dolphins?
Yeah.
That's a bad loss. They lose 20-13 to the Broncos. I mean, how the hell the Broncos won four games?
Why the hell would you bench Tua in the fourth quarter?
Well, is that a Flores thing though? I mean, Flores is a guy who.
Now here's a guy.
Here's a guy who is not afraid to just pull guys at any time. He's in charge. He's the boss. La 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 la, and the players love playing for him. I think it says.
Yep.
Is that philosophy though? Going to hurt you? And now Tua said all the right things after the game. He got benched for Fitzpatrick. He said all the right things. He played the company line, and you know we all like seeing Fitzmagic back in there and the scruffo beard and everything. But I don't know, that game for Miami to me was a wake up call that they're just not quite ready, and I think that was on display in this game. This weekend.
Do you use the Brian Flores philosophy where you just bench guys whenever you want, or do you use the Jim Mora, not playoffs, but like when Peyton Manning's rookie year, he said you're going to struggle and you're going to stay in there the entire game. You're going to experience struggles. You just have to go through it. And you know, Peyton would throw five picks a game, and he just leave them in there and say you're going to finish the game. I do that with two. I'd say you're going to make mistakes. You have to work through them. You don't just pull and say you're done. I know Fitzmagic's a quality backup quarterback, but I hear he's trying to win the game, but Tua gets to win the game for you.
They don't have a supporting cast to go win him the game, though. That's the thing.
I see where you're getting that from. They have some talent, but not a lot of offensive weapons to work from. I mean, it's kind of a musical chairs at running back and receiver. I mean, they have, what, one good receiver, maybe?
Well, and the other thing, too, that as it went on, they had Ahmed, I can't think of pronounce his name, but Salvin Ahmed for the Washington kid. Well, and he got hurt. And after that, they didn't have anybody else that ran the ball. Mighty Mouse couldn't save the day. Here I come to save the day, Jakeem Grant. It just looks a little bit of a mess. Mike Gesicki went and caught a few more passes again, but they're just not a very. They need another draft to get more talented to surround two.
Well, here's the thing with that. They have Houston's pick. So right now they would have the fourth overall pick in the draft.
Okay, well, then they can make
so. I mean, they could trade down and get more picks and more players, or what they could do because they have a lot of options because they have that Houston pick.
That's nice to have that in your back pocket. Yeah. Again, the Broncos are going nowhere. It was a nice win for them. Drew Locke continues to
be mediocre.
Yeah, and Melvin Gordon's fine. And Tim Patrick is emerging now without Sutton in the lineup as kind of a reliable receiver. But that franchise is still kind of a mess. Although they were going to the AFC Championship game this year.
Yeah, according to me. But, yeah. I just think that Elway is kind of handcuffing the franchise because of the quarterback position. He can't make up his mind what he wants to do. He wants the tall, no offense, white quarterback. He wants Peyton Manning. He wants He wants the tall, big, strong quarterback. He wanted Brock Osweiler, 6'7", massive, control the ball on a rope.
What a worthless turd.
Yeah, except he sucked, which was the only problem.
Yeah, but they can have all the physical tools you want, but if you suck, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, but if you can't throw, if you can't hit a barn door with the ball, it probably doesn't help you. But they just need a quarterback and they'd be good to go. Plus Von Miller and Bradley Chubb are hurt, so.
It's too bad too because I think there's a lot of talent on that team still there, but I just don't think it's going to be enough for them to be any good anytime soon down in Denver. Oh, the Jets.
J-E-T-S, suck, suck, suck.
0-10. They were not out of this game.
No.
They were not. Joe Flacco, but Justin Herbert outduels Joe Flacco. Can I say that? 366 yards and 3 touchdowns. How about Keenan Allen, who had himself a day?
Well, he's playing the Jets.
16 catches, 145 yards. Again, granted, it's the Jets.
Yep.
Let's give it up for LaMichael Perine, the Jets, who scored. By the way, our guy is no longer. Our guy from, our team from our former San Antonio. No longer the starting kicker. Sergio Castillo, I think his name was. And we already how quickly I forget.
Yeah.
Instead, it was Sam Kickin' Ficken, failing on extra points. Rashad Perryman, I remember him.
Yeah.
Caught one.
The Jets are wasting some wide receiver talent. They have some receiver talent.
And Denzel Mims. Seriously? I mean, God. 0-10. It's... Now
they're more than halfway there.
They have. I would say against the Dolphins, they've got a reasonable shot.
No, they don't.
At home? No.
No.
Okay. Raiders, Seahawks, Rams. No, no,
wow,
no.
That's bad. That's
Browns. Bad.
Maybe.
Patriots.
No.
They came close against New England.
They did.
Are you calling 0-16 right now?
Is it weird we have a 16-0 and 0-16 team in the same season?
I mean, we won't.
We could.
Guarantee we won't. Nope.
We might.
Nope.
We might.
Is there a wager I hear on this?
No, there's no wager to be filled here.
Okay.
No. I said there's a possibility. I didn't say I firmly believe this is
anything going to is happen. Possible, my friend.
Yeah.
No, not this one. Wow, if that was picked off, that was an amazing pick by. Wow. A totally blown up screen. Jared Goff threw one of the worst passes I've ever friggin' seen there.
But JPP with four fingers on one hand.
Yeah, JPP with four fingers caught that, and now they are doing the end zone celebration where everybody... Put that on my list, ladies and gentlemen. Celebrations where they all run to the stupid television are dumb. Okay?
Also, the guy has a first that runs backwards after he catches the pass.
Oh, yeah. That drives me nuts. Look at that pick. Well done, young man.
That's JPP.
Yeah. Well, still, again, that's... For a guy with nine fingers to pick that off is pretty impressive, I must say. But anyway.
Yeah.
Moving on.
Yeah.
So, the Chargers did not blow a lead. Anthony will not be fired. Adam Gase will be fired.
Yeah.
Only question is when.
So, who will the Jets get as the next coach? Lincoln Riley?
Eric Bieniemy?
He ain't going to the Jets.
Why not?
You want to resurrect that team? Mm-mm. I'll settle for the Chargers or something. I'm not taking that.
Why wouldn't you go to the Jets?
You want to go to the Jets?
I'm just asking. I don't know.
Trevor Lawrence could still go back to school after this season.
Sunshine could do that.
So if Lincoln Riley, if he comes to the Jets, I guarantee Lawrence would for sure come out and be drafted by the Jets. But
okay.
But I think it's just the right coach. To see what Lawrence would do.
I could see that happen.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I don't think the Jets have a prayer.
No.
Nope. It could be 0-16. I mean, usually about this point in the year,
they look for something. I mean, like week 16, they'll find a way to win a game, but I don't know if they will.
Well, those last two against the Jets or Browns and Patriots sound juicy to me. Cleveland's just the type of team they would beat, too.
Yep.
We'll see. Now we get to the two games of the weekend. And the first was in Indianapolis where the...
Let's go Colts!
The Colts, 34-31 victors over the Packers in overtime where Nerdo makes the field goal at the end of the game. Let's talk about another thing I hate in professional football.
Yes.
Arrogant fourth down calls.
Arrogant fourth down
calls. Arrogant fourth down calls, all right?
Okay.
And what I mean by this... is the Packers and their marvelous decision to go for it on a fourth down where they pretty much got a field goal in hand, and they go for it, don't get it, and I always wonder if they just outs. They got fourth and one at the Colts 34 with 3 minutes to go. Fourth down and one. Pass up the Mason Crosby field goal to tie the game. Throw it short. Don't get it. Now, and it takes them, of course, a miracle pass to, he's now called MVS, Marquez Valdes-Scantling, to tie the game. Packers win the toss. We win the, we want the ball, and we're going to score.
Yeah.
And then, old Rodgers, he thinks he's got his all creative screen all set up. And Scantling fumbles.
Bobbles and fumbles.
Which is great. Because all Aaron Rodgers can do is watch.
As Nerdo splits the uprights.
Nerdo splits the sticks from 46 or whatever it was to win it. And Rodrigo Blankenship, by the way, for all we make fun of him.
He's pretty damn good.
He's a good kicker. He might be one of the best kickers in the league already. But nails a 39-yarder in overtime to win it after three running plays. And ironically enough, by Jonathan Taylor, the Wisconsin guy, taking it to the Sconnies himself.
Yeah.
And while Green Bay is not really going to lose any playoff positioning or anything because of this, that's a bad loss for Green Bay.
Yeah, when you have the game won and then you lose it, but I mean, I put a smile on my face when they lose. So, but I'm just like, there isn't any distinctive favorite in the NFC. And if one of these teams made it out, I wouldn't be surprised. If Green Bay made it out, I would be surprised. Because their defense is horrible in spots. And the Colts aren't a great offense. They're just good enough to get you beat kind of offenses. They still somehow put up 31 points in regulation, and then
but the Packers are a bad defense.
They're a horrible defense. And it's just like, you have J.R. Alexander, one of the best corners in the game. He's really good. Kenny Clark and Darius Smith, and they have some talent on defense, but then they just get beat up in spots. Like, the Viking loss is a horrible loss. You can't lose that game if you're trying to get playoff position. Yeah.
Colts followed the formula. They ran for 140 yards, 420 yards on the ground. Overcame 116 penalty yards. That's just a huge number. But again, the Packers turned it over four times, which proves to be their undoing in the loss. And just proving again that your point about the NFC, how wide open it is. And you have to look at the Colts have taken advantage of the NFC North big time in these games this season. So kudos to the Colts. Every time I think they're just about on the outside looking in, they find a way to win a game like this. And then the Sunday night affair, Chiefs 35, Raiders 31, closer than some thought. However, I was pretty impressed with the Raiders and how they played. The problem is they're just...
I was looking for a defender to guard Travis Kelce, because where the hell was the defender?
Well, I liked how Mahomes takes off, draws the safety up.
Yeah, draws it, then scores.
And he's got... You either take Mahomes and try to shut it down on the run, in which case he does what he did, throws it to a wide-open Kelce. Because if he goes and guards Kelce, Mahomes is going to run for 20 yards. And I guess, again, you take your chances. You pick your poison, take your chances, whatever you want to call it.
Mm-hmm.
I think this Raider offense will play well heading into the postseason if they get that far. I think they're not going to be a team you're going to want to face in an opening round.
Yeah.
I think they're tough.
Yeah.
I think Josh Jacobs is a phenomenal runner. I think Darren Waller is...
Can anybody guard Darren Waller?
But the problem they're going to have, though, is I don't think, again, as it showed up in this game, I'm not sure their defense is good enough to hang with some of these
and
games.
And Abram takes the most stupidest penalties you could ever, like... He's still, like, knocking guys lay out of bounds. I'm like, why are you doing that? You're trying to win the game. You're close to beating Kansas City twice in one season, and you can't do it. You can't give Kansas City chances, more chances to beat you, because they're going to have to give them enough chances. And that's just not the way to roll against Kansas City.
So that kind of covers the weekend there. Big win for the Chiefs again, not only divisional playoff.
Did they take laps around the stadium, too?
No, they didn't. Apparently, I don't think so. By the way, Nelson Agholor, the other guy for Vegas I wanted to mention before I forget, he had himself a night. Just fun to watch him play. I don't know how he got out of, it must have been a cap thing with the Eagles.
No, he just wasn't very good.
But he looked like a whole different ball player than last time.
Finally, we got out of Philadelphia, how good you are.
I saw him 6 catches, 88 yards, and a touchdown.
A nice touchdown, too.
Yeah, by far their leading receiver outside of Waller. And again, Jacobs will get you your your 60 to 100 yards will get you your touchdown. This is solid, and Derek Carr looks better. He's just not, he's right on that level below elite.
Now his but good, he's good is not great.
He's better than Kirk Cousins.
Yeah.
But again, when it came down to needing to win the game for you at the end, couldn't do it.
No.
And that's okay. I mean, you recognize him for what he is.
Yeah.
Limitations. So, with that being said, the playoff picture looks like this. In the AFC, Pittsburgh is number one seed at 10-0. And again, they have to keep winning because Kansas City's right on their heels at 9-1. Buffalo is the 3 at 7-3. Indianapolis is the 4 at 7-3. Tennessee is the first wild card at 7-3. Cleveland is the second wild card at 7-3.
Please let them in.
So, and Vegas is the 7 right now. So, I forgot how good this primetime music is when we get to the end of this. Wow, wow, wow. Vegas at 6-4. Baltimore now outside looking in at 6-4. Miami 6-4. Then you drop off to Denver and New England at 4-6 each. So
Cleveland can't lose though.
So 9 teams for 7 spots is what we're looking at in the AFC, realistically.
Mm-hmm.
On the NFC side, the Vikes aren't out of it, amazingly enough.
No,
but their margin for error is pretty much gone.
They are.
New Orleans is 8-2, Seattle 7-3, Green Bay 7-3, and Philly at 3-6-1. Can hardly say with a straight face. Top 4 seeds. Tampa to the night 7-3. They are 8. Will be 8-3 with a win here. Rams are 6-3. They will drop 6-4. So assuming the score holds as is right now,
it's tied.
Okay, well that would be bad.
Yeah.
Let's say Tampa wins. Tampa would go to 8-3. And again, if you're Tampa, you're all good with that because it means you get to go to Philly for the first round. You'll take that.
Yeah, you'll take that one.
Vikes could be still only 2 games out.
No, stop. They're not making
it. I sound like you.
No.
We never know. They could make a run.
No, sorry. The Cardinals, who is the 7?
Cardinals are 6-4.
Yeah, they're not dropping out of that 7th spot. They are.
Okay. Not out of the realm of possibility.
The Vikes will be the 8.
Chicago is 8 at 5-5. Minnesota,
Chicago is still going like
Minnesota,
this.
Minnesota, Detroit, San Francisco in that order, 9, 10, 11. So the Vikes are the 9. They need to find a way to get over 2 teams.
You got
to
beat Tampa and New Orleans, and they ain't beating either of them. So
we'll see.
So my Christmas will be half ruined by them losing to New Orleans.
My Christmas will be half ruined. The other half is a lump of coal I'm going to put in your stocking.
Hey, not nice.
A close circuit to Santa. We'll talk later. Anyway.
Right.
And that is your week in the National Football League. Quite entertaining a week, to say the least. We will have preview the Thanksgiving games on Thanksgiving. We will have some content for you later in the week as Turkey Day rolls around. But let's go to the college ranks. You mocked them. You ridiculed them. You said it couldn't be done. And they damn near won the game. My Indiana Hoosiers.
That's still a loss, so it doesn't matter.
Just admit it.
Still a loss.
Just.
Okay, yeah. They came back and they almost won the game.
And they almost won the game.
They did it, though.
Not just covered the 20.5 points, which you said would be no problem. They almost flat out won the game.
They didn't, so it's wrong.
Michael Penix Jr. had 491 yards passing. He made Justin Fields look like the inferior athlete. Okay. Let's just admit, Indiana's good.
Sure.
Okay.
No, but they're going to be second in their own division, and then they're going to be outside looking at the Big Ten title game. Yeah, sure.
I mean, that's all good.
I don't care. You know what? They'll end up in a mediocre bowl game, so.
You know what? More than a lot of FBS teams are going to be this year.
Doesn't everybody get in this year?
Everybody gets to the Blue Bonnet Bowl?
Yeah.
That was always one of my favorites, the Blue Bonnet Bowl.
Yeah, at the Astrodome?
Is that where it was?
Yeah.
I can't remember.
Jimmy Johnson is Oklahoma State Cowboys won there a couple times.
How about the Cowboys? Yeah. So, kudos to my Hoosiers, my adopted team for this year.
That was Notre Dame.
Well, no, Notre Dame's always been my team, so let's be honest here.
We'll see where they end up in the CFP rankings tomorrow night. So,
one team who will not be in the bottom of the rankings anymore, the Fighting Reese Davises of Northwestern. Getting the motivational from Joey Galloway, calling them the Fighting Reese Davises, a team full of Reese Davises, going out and beating a very miserable Wisconsin team who looked like shit. I mean, I've seen the Badgers play some ugly games over the years.
But at least they had Ron Dane to back it up. They haven't gotten a run.
They had every guy in that team's Ron Dane. Ron Dane, Jonathan Taylor,
Melvin Gordon, Dante Ball.
Fill in the blank Wisconsin running back. And they always have some shit quarterback and some garbage game like this where they lose to North frickin' Western.
Northwestern is ranked 11th in the AP poll now, so I mean, you can't count Northwestern not. I think Northwestern's good, but I mean,
I think they were that good.
They're second fiddle to Ohio State in the Big Ten.
Well, probably. And then, you know,
I think Pat Fitzgerald's done a great job down there, but I mean, you're not Ohio State.
He's probably underrated.
That's the truth.
I'm sure it is. Oklahoma beats Oklahoma State in Bedlam, and Oklahoma State, I swear to God, they had the Madden cheat codes on for the first quarter because it was like, you know, they went boom, boom, touchdown, Aikman touchdown, unbelievable, Aikman touchdown, unbelievable.
Oklahoma was right down the field there.
Yeah, and they ran up a huge lead and kind of ran away and hid in it. Ran away and hid, he tried to say, in this game. It was, you know, 21-7 after the first quarter, and really, Spencer Rattler, still with one of the best names in college football.
Most ugly quarterbacks in football.
Right, but anyone, our boy, our brother from another mother, Chuba Hubbard, couldn't quite get it going for Oklahoma State, and so they lose, and they'll fall out. And again, really doesn't matter who wins the Big 12 for playoff purposes.
Because they ain't getting in. So.
No chance for either of those two teams to get in there anyway. Two of the most fun games of the night, we should mention. We watched Liberty lose to NC State.
Gotta make that kick.
15-14, and the kid misses the field goal for Liberty. And then Michigan-Rutgers. Wow.
Triple
overtime.
If that doesn't tell you how far Michigan has fallen, they went to triple overtime in Piscataway. One of my favorite names.
Which says everything you need to know about
Piscataway Heights, New Jersey. It's just like, so you can't go to triple in Piscataway when you're Michigan playing Rutgers, the laughing stock of the Big Ten.
And Rutgers got beat by Michigan something like 52-0 the year before, or 70 or 80-0. It was just some ridiculous score.
And it's
triple overtime. And Rutgers is pulling every play out of the playbook that they can find, the wide receiver pass, everything.
The halfback pass.
Yeah, it's unreal. They're throwing out all the stops. Meanwhile, Michigan is just struggling to get anything that they can, and they can't get it done. And finally, in the third overtime, they put Rutgers away. And it's just, Michigan's terrible. Terrible. It's a terrible, terrible team in a terrible city in a terrible town with terrible fans.
We have a champ like club, but you comes off.
My God. And then Harbaugh, I hate Harbaugh. I hate both the Harbaughs, by the way. But
okay.
I wonder if Jim looks at this and he's like, man, I'm getting out of here. I'd rather go coach, like, the, Jets. I mean, honestly.
Because the Jets.
It's horrible. I mean, you're already in New Jersey. You may as well stay there and coach the Jets. But that was.
No!
And again, I'm Greg Schiano, Rutgers. They have a history. He's turned, at least he's made it a, looks like a respectable team out there. But that is bad for college football.
Yeah, you can't go to triple overtime in Piscataway. I just keep saying Piscataway because it's a cool name. But you cannot win like that against Rutgers. It's Rutgers.
Rutgers.
Yeah. They haven't been relevant in a decade.
Other teams of note, Indiana, as we said, in the Ohio State loss, that still is going to put them in position for a big bowl. Alabama walks all over Kentucky by 60.
Yeah.
Iowa State thumps Chris Klieman 45-0. Georgia wins, although not real clean, over Mississippi State.
No, you know what was clean? The black uniforms. That's
true.
That's one of them that game.
Props to them for that. USC gets Utah in their Utah's first game of the year. Oregon, surprisingly difficult time with UCLA and Chip Kelly revenge game. Doesn't quite happen. Oregon gets a pick six at the end of the first half and wins.
Can't do that.
So we are, what is it, tomorrow night the rankings come out for the first?
The CFP rankings.
So what's your top four going into the rankings? What is your top four going to be?
My gut feeling tells me Bama, Notre Dame, Ohio State, and Clemson. With 5 and 6 being A&M and Florida.
Yeah, I think you have to have A&M or Florida.
I think you have to have A&M and Florida be a group, and then BYU and Cincinnati be a group.
Yeah, and I actually would like to see BYU-Cincinnati. That should be a bowl game.
It should be.
To see who kind of the...
Put them in a I want to say BCS bowl, but one of the New Year's Day bowls.
Well, you know, if the loser of that would be the 8th seed in the theoretical.
Here's my problem with BYU. Who have they beaten?
We have this conversation every other week.
Texas State, good job. I mean, it's just like, really?
Hey, they beat North Alabama this week.
Yeah, exactly.
You love North Alabama.
They're going to be a playoff team, I swear to God. Seriously. You know, Zach Wilson doesn't play anybody. Cincinnati doesn't play anybody. I think it's just like...
BYU won 66-14. Wilson, I don't even think, played the whole game. In fact, I'm quite certain he didn't play the whole game.
Didn't have to.
According to this, yeah, somebody else came in. Romney.
Romney.
Couldn't be related by any chance, would he? To that Romney? No.
Not Mitt Romney. Probably not.
Anyway.
I'm just like, they can stay at 7-8 because they're not better than A&M. They're not better than Florida.
So BYU still has my boys from, they've still got Army left to play. Ooh. If they can make that game up. And then they have got South Dakota State on their schedule. San Diego
State. Yeah, San Diego State. Yeah, but, hey, Army will give them a game. I'll take your service academy on BYU.
I do believe that the Black Knights will emerge victorious.
Yeah, I'll push my chips towards Army.
I have a deep love for service academy option football. Because
they'll run the same plays and they all know each other so well, and that's why the Army Navy game is so good.
You got it, brother. You got it. It's hard to believe we're at Thanksgiving. The Iron Bowl is coming up this weekend. No, doesn't get you excited. They're not going to play the Apple Cup because of COVID. And
what's that one?
The Washington State. But we'll have a chance to preview all the college games later in the week here. But there'll be a more Friday slate than there, and there will be a Saturday slate, I think, this weekend. And then we're getting on towards conference championship time already, and it's going to be fun to watch all of this as we come down the stretch. So what are we going to do for a Thanksgiving show?
I don't know.
We're not sure yet at this point if we're going to record it on Thanksgiving or record it before Thanksgiving or what we're going to do. But we will have content for you. So for those of you making the trip to Grandma and Grandpa's house, at least if you're, you know, not in New York or
New York,
following the rules or whatever.
Because remember, Cuomo can't mask what you can.
Right, correct. And so it'll be interesting to see what happens with some of these games if they get played this weekend. But in any case, there'll be plenty of college football to view. Coming up this weekend, which makes us happy as we gorge ourselves with wonderful turkeys.
To eat so good?
Turkey to eat
so good?
Yes. And before we start singing the whole song, hey, get in touch with the show. Our email is legendandloudmouth@gmail.com. That's legendandloudmouth@gmail.com. You can find us on Twitter @legendloudmouth. That's @legendloudmouth. And you can check out our website, legendandloudmouth.com. That's legendandloudmouth.com for all the links to our previous shows. Grant, how do we find you?
Follow me on Instagram and Snapchat @GrantLegend1. Follow me on TikTok @GrantLegend. And follow us on Instagram @legend_loudmouth_pod. That's legend_loudmouth_pod. Give us a like, show, hate the show, really care. DM us, please, and subscribe to the YouTube channel.
The Rams are going in for the go-ahead score, potentially. We'll see how it goes as they're tied at 17. We will have a Thanksgiving show, maybe not the day of Thanksgiving, but we will preview the Thanksgiving football feast of the weekend and see what's going on there. Some NBA trades and some news as free agency comes. We'll break that down. Bison basketball heading to the schedule changes like every 30 seconds with Bison Hoops these days, so we'll keep you up to date on that as we head towards Thanksgiving weekend. Thanks for starting your Thanksgiving week with us here on The Legend and The Loudmouth.